praying for you. Amen.
Well, that singing was so good, I sort of didn't want it to stop. But I do appreciate the opportunity, Brother Steve. I appreciate your heart for preachers, young preachers. A little over 8 years ago, after the Lord called me to preach, Brother Steve had me to come to his church on an Easter Sunday evening, and I hadn't forgot that, brother. I appreciate it. I don't feel worthy to be standing before you. I know there's other men far more qualified than me. But if you have your Bibles this evening, I want you to be turning with me to the book of Ephesians. And I'm glad that most of you were able to shout a while ago, because I don't think this is one you may shout about. But that's all right. I believe the Lord has given it to me for a reason. And I want to say, before we read our verse of Scripture, this past year has been difficult on so many people. It's been so difficult on so many of our churches. We know that our nation is divided. So many problems that people are facing. But you know, there's one area of our society that we often forget about, and that's the home. When we see our nation fussing and fighting, when we see division and conflict in our church, when we see problems in our culture, know this, it all starts in the home. The home is the greatest problem that we have in America. And it is the home that God first ordained to be the bedrock and the foundation of the society that we know. I want to say tonight that our churches will only be as strong as our homes. And our nation will only be as strong as our homes. I am convinced that the number one problem in our homes is not that of the wife or the children, but I am convinced that it is the lack of leadership from the fathers and the husbands. If the husbands and the fathers would get in their rightful position, and if they would accept the responsibilities that have been placed upon them by the Word of God, then the wife and the children would have no problem assuming their place in the home. Let me read my verse of Scripture before we forget. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them." Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." You see, here in this little verse, the Apostle Paul is giving us as Christian fathers all the details and the truths that we need to raise our children in righteousness and in godliness. And I want you to notice just very quickly, with what time I have, I want you to notice, first of all, there is a negative command, and then there is a positive command. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Now, this was a totally new concept for Paul in his day, especially in such pagan places such as Ephesus. Most families in Paul's day were in shambles, and mutual love that Brother Jamie was speaking about earlier in the home was almost unheard of. A father's love for his children would have been hard even to imagine in this day. By the Roman law of patria potestas, a father had virtual life and death power over his entire household. He could at any time cast anyone out of his house and sell them as slaves or even kill them, and he would be accountable to no one. A newborn child was placed at its father's feet to determine its fate. If the father picked it up, the child was allowed to stay in the home. But if the father walked away, it meant that the child was rejected and it would be simply disposed of, much like abortion in our day. Discarded infants who were healthy and vigorous were then collected and taken each night to the town forum, where they would be picked up and raised either to be slaves or to be prostitutes. And those that were discarded who were not as healthy were simply left out to be killed by the elements. One letter that was written about this time, a husband is writing his wife and he says this. He says, "If you have another child while I'm gone, if it is a boy, let it live. If it is a girl, expose it and let it die." Another political leader in Rome at the time that Paul wrote this letter said this. He said, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, and children that are born weak or deformed, we drown." I believe Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9, there's no new thing under the sun. This sounds very similar to what we're seeing in our day. And let me just say this, the primary cause for children being in foster homes, as recorded in one recent report, it was not the divorce or the financial problems or even the death of their parents, but it was simply the disinterest of the parents. And because a father was the dominant figure in the household of Paul's day, he was the parent who would most often provoke his child to wrath. Notice that little phrase there that Paul uses. It's only used one other time in the New Testament. And it suggests a repeated, ongoing pattern of treatment that gradually builds a deep-seated anger and resentment that eventually boils over into outward hostility. Such treatment is often not intended to provoke the child to wrath. Often it is thought to be for the child's good. Paul also wrote to the church at Colossae, and he said in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now, there's all sorts of ways that a father can do this tonight, and I don't have time to go through all the different ways, but I do just want to point out a couple. Fathers, if all you ever do is blame and criticize your children, you will provoke your children to wrath. A child who is never complimented or a child who is never encouraged by his dad is headed down a path that will lead to destruction. If our children are always told that they do wrong and they're never encouraged when they do right, they will soon lose hope and believe that they'll never be able to do anything that's right. Our children need approval and they need encouragement for the good things that they do every bit as much as they need correction for the bad things that they do. Amen. And a father who does this is provoking his child to wrath and anger and discouragement. How about this? Being inconsistent and unfair in discipline. Fathers, and I am one, so I can speak from experience here. Fathers sometimes overreact. And we discipline our children in a much harsher way than we should. But let me remind you of the way that our Father in heaven disciplines his children. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he what? He chasteneth." Fathers, if you are not disciplining your children out of the love in your heart, then you are disciplining and correcting your children in the wrong manner. Proper biblical discipline is not a matter of showing your authority or your strength, but it is correcting our children in love and in fairness. Amen. And by the way, fathers, you can also do this by using your words. We should never put down and constantly criticize our children. We should never punish our children out of anger, because that is not the way that the Lord disciplines us. Another one real quickly that I want to get to. Sometimes fathers can provoke their children to wrath and discourage them by showing favoritism. And if you want a biblical example, just look at Jacob and Esau. Look at the way that Isaac and Rebekah showed favoritism to each one of those boys, and look at the trouble that it caused between Jacob and Esau. Here's another one, dads. Making promises to your children that you do not keep is a way to provoke your children under wrath. And this is the last one that I'll mention. Anytime, fathers, that you are pressuring your children to achieve something and you continue pressuring your children in a way that is not warranted, you will discourage your children. Your child will quickly learn that there is nothing that they can do to please their father. And fathers, let me just say this, because I know it can be a big issue around here. Fathers who fantasize their own achievements through the athletic skills of their sons or daughters are setting their children up for failure. Do not, fathers, do not place a standard that is too much for your children to reach. Do not try to go and live your life through your child. Provoke not your children to wrath. Now quickly, I want us to notice the positive command that Paul gives at the latter part of verse 4. He says this: bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That phrase, bring them up, is the same word that is translated nourish in Ephesians 5 and verse 29, where Paul says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. This phrase means that we are to bring up our children to maturity, and we are to nourish them and to cherish them and to train them. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I raise my kids in church. That's good. I believe in doing that. I believe in what the Hebrew writer said, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as the day is approaching. But listen, listen, fathers, there's more to raising your children than just bringing them up in church or raising them in church. You must bring up your children in the home. That is where God has intended the primary training and the primary spiritual discipline to come from. It should come from the father in the home. Several years ago, there was a phrase that was used by a lot of different preachers. They'd say, oh, well, I had a drug problem when I was growing up. You've heard it. I was drugged back and forth to church all my life. And listen, I understand that. That's comical and that's humorous for us to laugh at. But let me just say, fathers, there's another problem that we're having, and it's not a drug problem. It's a discipleship problem. Can I say this, fathers? If you will bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you will not have to drag your children to church. They will want to go to church. God will put that desire in their soul and in their heart to be fed from the man of God and from the word of God. Bring up your children in the home. Again, I'm not against the church. God forbid, I'm the pastor of a church. I believe you ought to go as often as the doors are open. But it has to start in the home. It has to start with the training that fathers give their children. Listen, dads, I know what we think sometimes. We think it's enough for us to provide our children with food and shelter and clothing. We think it's enough for us to put food on the table, and that is your responsibility. But there's a whole lot more that goes into it than just putting food on the table. There's a whole lot more that goes into it than just being the breadwinner of your family. You are to be the spiritual leader in your household. Christ is the head of the home, and the Father is the head under that, and you are the primary spiritual leader in your home. I know what we think sometimes as fathers. We think we've done our duty when we take our kids to church. We think we've done our duty when we say grace at mealtime. We think we've done our duty when we take our children to Sunday school. And I'm not discrediting that. I'm not demeaning that. I think we should do that. But fathers, it starts in the home. Paul didn't say to bring them up in the church. Paul said to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that must start in the home. The church is there to support. Yes, the church is there to encourage. The church is there to edify. The church is there to build up. But there has to be something there to build up. There has to be something there to edify. And fathers, it is our responsibility to provide for the spiritual needs of our children just as much, if not more, than to provide for those physical needs. I like what Luke says in Luke 2:52. He gives us a picture of the way that we are to bring up our children, and he uses the life of our Savior as he's a child. The Bible says there that, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And in this verse, Luke is telling us all the different ways that Christ was nurtured and was trained and was nourished. He grew intellectually. He grew physically. He grew socially. But he also grew spiritually. And I just have a feeling, and I just have a suspicion, that there was a godly man by the name of Joseph that played a big part in the way that our Savior grew up and in the training that he received as a child. And fathers, it is our responsibility to bring up our children in the home. It is our responsibility to do this. Then notice what Paul says. He says, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. That word nurture carries the idea of learning through discipline. It includes the whole training of the child. It also refers to the correction in wrongdoing, but also the instruction in what is right. We all know this verse. We quote it often. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I looked up that little word betimes, Brother Steve. It means to do it early and to do it diligently. You see, fathers, as I said a while ago, it's wrong for us to correct and discipline our children out of anger and in an inconsistent way, but it is right and it is biblical to discipline and correct your children out of love. And to do so diligently. Now, there's a lot of people today who oppose the old-fashioned idea of using the rod or using the belt or using the spoon as we use in the Deal household. But let me just say that God's word has not changed and that God's standard has not changed. And it does not and it will not change based on what our society tells us. The Bible still says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse gives us the idea of the word nurture. And let me just say this, fathers, that we need to set boundaries for our children. And if our children cross those boundaries, there needs to be consequences. There needs to be consequences for their wrong behavior, just as there needs to be encouragement for their good behavior. And then notice Paul says, and he says, bring them up in the nurture, but then he uses the little word admonition. That little word literally means to call attention to or to put in mind. It also includes the idea of correction with a mild rebuke or a warning. And what Paul is saying with this little word, admonition, is he's saying that we as fathers must not only use our actions when we are training our children, but we must also use our words. Sometimes our words can be used to cut, Sometimes we use our words to tear down our children and to be critical of them. But Paul was saying that we should bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And yes, that does include warning them. Yes, that does include letting them know when they do something wrong. But it means doing it in the right spirit and with the right attitude. How would it be tonight if God corrected us the way that we correct and discipline our children? How would we respond if God treated us the way that we treat our children at times? This little word admonition also refers to the type of instruction that's found in the book of Proverbs. Let me just say, there's a lot of different books that have been written about parenting and training up your children the way that that they need to be. But let me just say, the best book on that issue is the little book of Proverbs. Amen. Solomon there is teaching us and teaching his sons and his daughters and his children the wise counsel that God has given him. And let me just say, our children will not always appreciate our words of correction and admonition, but that does not take away our responsibility to give them those words. But the key to all of this, the key to not provoking your children to wrath and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition, is to do so in the Lord or of the Lord. Everything that we do for our children is to be done of God, according to the teaching of His Word and with the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let me just remind you, if you've got your Bibles open there, I hope you do, just turn back a page or so to Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Brother Joe and Brother Tom were speaking on the filling of the Spirit last week. The Bible says, there be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And may I remind you that what Paul is writing here to parents and fathers and children, and what Paul writes at the end of chapter 5 to husbands and wives, and what Paul writes to employers and employees in verses 5 through verses 9 of chapter 6, all of that is to be done by and through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes we think we only have to be full of the Holy Ghost when we're preaching. Sometimes us fathers only get full of the Holy Ghost when we're in camp meeting or when we're in church. But let me just say this, fathers, you need to be as full of the Holy Ghost in that home as you need to be on Sunday morning at church. You need to be as full of the Holy Ghost at home, preachers, as you do when you're in the pulpit. If you say, preacher, how in the world are we going to do what Paul is instructing us to do? You got to be full of the Spirit. You can't do it in your own power. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in anything that's natural inside of us. But there is a supernatural filling of the Holy Ghost. And that's the only way that this can be done, fathers. By the guidance and the power of the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, I don't have time. I know a lot of dads are busy. A lot of dads are working hard, some multiple jobs. I know a lot of fathers don't feel like they're able to do this for time, or they're not qualified or anything of that nature. But let me just remind you what God instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." But don't miss this. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart." Amen. Amen. But he also said this. "And thou shalt teach these words diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You see there, Moses understands, the Lord understands that we all live a busy life. But here in these verses, he's telling us as fathers, as Christian fathers, that we are to train and discipline and bring up our children in all the aspects of our life, when we go to bed, when we wake up, when we're sitting around the table eating a meal, when we're driving those kids to school and ball practice and all the other activities that they're involved in. We are to use those moments and to redeem the time that God has given us to pour our lives into our children and to train them and to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is the standard that God has set for all of us as Christian fathers. And let me just say this. There is no one that can help or hurt a child like a father can. A father is one of society's most influential roles, right next to a mama. Dads, the role that you hold is one that has been commissioned by the Lord Himself. Let me just say tonight, it is no accident that you are your child's father. Whoever your children are, whether they've been born to you, or whether you've been adopted, or whether they've been brought into your family, stepchildren or foster children, it makes no difference. God has chosen you for such a time as this to train and care for your children and to teach them the ways of God. If you are a parent and if you are a father here tonight, you are in the primary position of bringing up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bringing up our children is not primarily the church's job. It is not primarily the Christian school's job. It is not primarily the pastor's job. It is not primarily the youth pastor's job. It is not primarily the Sunday school teacher's job. And I thank God for each one of those roles that we have. But the primary responsibility, men, lays at our feet and in our hearts. It is our responsibility to do this. And it's time that we as Christian fathers stop passing this responsibility to everyone else and start bringing up our children the way that God intended it to. I'm sick and tired of people blaming everything else for the problems that their children have. We blame our culture. We blame our society. We blame those that are in leadership in Washington and Raleigh. We blame the school teachers, the public school teachers. We blame the Supreme Court. We blame the church, some of us do, for the ways that our children are brought up. But let me just say tonight that the responsibility for bringing up your children in the right way, it lays at your feet, Dad. Stop blaming everyone else and start taking responsibility for those precious gifts that God has given you. And do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. A Christian home is more than just a house full of Christian people. Every Christian family ought to be, as it were, a little church consecrated to Christ and wholly influenced and governed by His rules. That's what Jonathan Edwards says. One writer said the single greatest reason why we are losing our young people today is that the home is no longer the place where faith is transferred to our children. Fathers, let me say this. You can outsource everything else that goes into raising your children, but if you outsource their spiritual training and their spiritual children and their spiritual discipline, you are setting up your children for failure. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to be a dad like Eli in the Old Testament who raised Hophni and Phinehas. I don't want to be a dad like Lot, God forbid. The Bible tells us over there in Peter that Lot was a just man, a righteous man. I think he's going to be in heaven one day. But I tell you, Lot failed as a daddy. Great as he was, I don't want to be a dad like David was. David was a great warrior. He was a great musician. He was a great king, and he was a man after God's own heart. But David failed his children, especially those first few. You say, preacher, how in the world are we going to be able to do this? How in the world are we going to be able to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? You see, the truth is tonight, none of us are perfect. Amen. But God doesn't expect us to be perfect when we're raising our children. But God does expect us to be faithful. All that's required of a good steward, and I believe that includes our children, is that a man and a father be found faithful. I'll close with this quote. There's only one thing worse, dads, than going to hell yourself. It's living long enough to see your children go there. We've got everything we need in this book and in the spirit that God has given us. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.